Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estácio's conference call to discuss the second quarter of 2011 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estaciopartícipesoys.com.br/IR, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will be able to listen to the call. We will begin with the Q&A session and then further instructions will be given. In case you would need assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star, then zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date that they are made. The company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information or future developments. And now I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Eduardo Alcalá, CEO. Please, Mr. Eduardo, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call for the results of the second quarter of 2011. I'll start the presentation with the highlights of the quarter and then pass over to Rogério Melzi, our CFO, who will comment in deeper details. After that, we'll go to the Q&A session. Let's start with slide number two here of the presentation. First, I would like to comment on the moment we live here at Estácio now. We are at Estácio, we're going through a very positive momentum, quite different from what we see in the global economic scenario and in the stock markets. We resume the organic growth of our on-campus student base after two record intake processes in a row. We began to reverse the downward trend we had been observing in our organic base over the recent years. Excluding the students from the acquisitions, in this semester, our undergraduate on-campus students base totaled more than 180,000 students, the same as we had in June 2010, and 5% higher than what we had last December. It is important to notice that from now on, we will have a larger student base, which added to the current positive intake process, makes us very confident towards the following semester. We completed new acquisitions in the beginning of this year. All of our four acquisitions were approved in the shareholders meeting with full disclosure of their business plans going forward. We want to reinforce that we use internal rate of return as a key driver for assessing the attractiveness of any acquisition, because we believe that that metric takes into account in the best way possible the future prospects and synergies of the business. Every acquisition, it is important to say that every acquisition made by us has its business plan automatically incorporated into the company's goals, which achievement impacts directly the variable compensation of executives here. Several new programs were approved by MEC, the regulator. We have dedicated a lot of attention and efforts on the launch of new programs in order to continue to capture the growth opportunities in different areas of Brazil. In this context, we currently have more than 1,000 programs, campuses, going through authorization processes. Out of this total, 42 on-campus programs already have been approved by MEC and are expected to be launched in 2012, and they represent a total of more than 5,000 new seats. And another 124 courses, also on campus, are under approval, representing another 15,000 new seats for the future. We also went through on-site evaluations visits by MEC with very good and positive grades. We have had grades higher than or equal 3 in all evaluations that were submitted since last year, and more than half of those evaluations got grades 4 or 5. We launched two greenfield units, Chácara Flora in São Paulo and Sulacap here in Rio de Janeiro, which we will further on comment in better details. We have already launched the tablet PCs in the second half of this year. We're delivering them as we speak to our law students in Rio de Janeiro. And then the idea is to gradually roll out this for all of our students throughout Brazil. Here, we are very motivated, certain that we are on the right track, that one we have set 3 years ago at the beginning of this new phase for Estácio. On slide number three, you know, before going deeper into our quarterly results, I would like to highlight that we welcome very happily the demands for more transparency in accounting and financial information by both investors and analysts. You will see in our release report a clear and detailed analysis of the key indicators for measuring our performance as a higher education company. These indicators are receivables. In this quarter, we present the analysis of the evaluation, the evolution, sorry, in the accounts receivable and days of receivables, the aging of receivables, the aging of agreements resulting from past due tuitions renegotiations. And we also reconcile the PDA of the balance sheet with the PDA expenses in our P&L statement. I would like to highlight that our PDA is not estimated by management. It is the direct and, so to speak, the mechanical, straightforward result of the aging of our accounts receivable and therefore is not subject to any future unexpected write-off. Rogério Melzi will comment this in better detail later on. Acquisitions. We also present our performance analysis using the concept of the same shops, separating the effects of acquisitions within the same year, while detailing the specific performance of each acquisition is also provided. Non-recurring items. We detail the nature of each item we believe has specific reasons to have occurred only at this particular moment, as well as its justification. Indebtedness. Now that we have resumed acquisitions and part of these are financed through vendors' finance, we have included such balances, although not that relevant, we have included such balances in our debt figures presentation. The same way, we have also included all and any balance of tax payables installments renegotiated for the medium and the long term. That said, let's move on to our results. We can see in slide number four that our consolidated recurring EBITDA totaled more than 26 million reais in the second quarter of 2011, which represents a higher than 41% growth over the second quarter of last year. Our revenues increased 12.3% and 7.4% in the same shops concept when we exclude the effect of the acquisitions for the year. We're now back to a scenario of organic growth with revenues, EBITDA, and EBITDA margins. And although we still face the labor taxes step up in our payroll, our EBITDA margin grew 1.9 percentage points over the previous year. Our management model based on centralization, standardization, and scale starts to show concrete results since there is a natural dilution of fixed costs and expenses. In parallel, the progress in the implementation of our new academic model, increasing efficiency in activities related to academic planning and better management of our assets are also beginning to yield very significant results in costs. With that said, I would like to pass over to Melzi so he will describe in further detail all our results. Melzi, please.
Thank you, Okalai. Good morning or afternoon, everyone. Very good to be with you again for this kind of heavy, more technical than usual release. We believe it will be necessary this time given what's going on in the marketplace. So I will start with slide number five, where we talk about the student base behavior. Looking in the left-hand side of the slide, we are able to show that all of our efforts made over the last 3 years of restructuring, beginning with the students' cleanup back there in 2008, and then the top changes in our credit policies passing by the whole creation of an entirely new product, the launching of the distance learning from the scratch, and also the organization of a brand new sales force, finally resulted in two back-to-back all-time record intake cycles. So, now we are back to the same level of on-campus organic student base we were a year ago, roughly 182,000 students. And we remain very confident that we will start growing from the next semester onwards. It is important to notice that we already grew 5% in our student base if we compare to December 2010, always disregarding impacts resulting from acquisitions. Also, we are very happy that our distance learning operation, which is so important to help us achieve growth and margin gain, resumed its growth trend and got back on track through the second quarter 2011, showing an 11.4% increase in the intake process compared to the previous year. We improved our on-campus tutorial and also our online assistance to our students, so now we have 34,000 students with more support and responsiveness from our professors. Moving to slide number 6, and then taking a look in our student base build-up from the second quarter of 2010, we can see that at this quarter, Estácio ended with 238,000 students, which is 11.1% more than in 2010, of which 195,000 students are on-campus students, 10,000 coming from acquisitions made in 2011, and 34 are distance learning students. On the same shops concept, the student base would be 229,000 students, which is 6.5 higher than in quarter 2010, due basically to the distance learning and graduate performances. Moving to slide number 7 to talk about our operational revenue. Our net revenue totaled 290 million reais in the second quarter 2011 due to the 11.2% increase in the student base, while the net revenue excluding acquisitions totaled 277 million reais, which represents a 7.4% increase over the second quarter 2010. Our second quarter 11 on-campus average ticket total 443.7 reais, which is 4.7% increase compared to previous year. Excluding the acquisitions we made this year, this ticket would have been 4.9% higher than the previous quarter, which reflects our strategy of passing inflation through our prices. The distance learning average ticket total 170.6 reais, which is slightly below what happened last year, but is in line with what we present in the first quarter 2011. Moving now to slide number 8, we talk about costs in the second quarter, and we start by highlighting that the recurring cash cost as a percentage of the net revenue showed a 2.2 percentage points efficiency gain over the quarter, mainly due to better control in faculty costs that resulted in a 2.9 percentage points margin gain, but also due to third-party services and rental expenses, condominium fees and property taxes, which showed a 0.8 percentage points and 0.5 percentage points margin improvement respectively. With this 12% revenue growth, for the first time since the beginning of the new management, we are able to demonstrate the cost dilution as a consequence of the scalability, centralization, and better academic planning that we've been putting in place. Moving now to slide number 9, we present our costs in the semester, and again, as well as in the quarter, we see efficiency gains in all of the costs breakdown, except, of course, for the labor taxes, because we are in that last year of the step-up for the labor taxes here at Estácio, and also except for the textbook materials, which grows as more students join our new academic model. Again, the main highlight is the 1.7 percentage point efficiency gain in personnel when analyzing the same shops concept. Moving on to slide number 10, we go through our SG&A expenses for the quarter, excluding depreciation and non-recurring items. Our selling expenses reached 11% of our net revenues in the second quarter, which is 1 percentage point above the second quarter last year, due to higher investments in advertising and also in PDA, provision for doubtful accounts. This increase in marketing expenses reflects the same strategy highlighted in the previous quarter. As we get more efficient in G&A, we reinvest part of our gains in a bigger commercial effort aiming to show to our potential prospects the different aspects of our products and services. As for our PDA expenses, if on one hand, delinquency has actually grown, in our case, between 0.5 and 1.5 percentage points, depending on the region. On the other hand, we have never had so many initiatives to deal with such an increase, which resulted in a PDA practically stable over the period. This quarter, Stasio widely used what we would like to call here our delinquency ruler, which is actually a set of proactive collection actions focusing on current students. Also, students with a history of delayed payments or students who do not improve their payment habits were blacklisted. At the same time, we significantly increased the usage of collection companies. Moreover, we developed a business intelligence system to control delinquency levels, enabling follow-up by course, campus, and shift, combined with setting up of specific PDA targets for each one of our units, which, by the way, are linked to a bonus-related target for the local administrative manager. And also, we maintained strict criteria for debt renegotiation and approval. We also provided incentives to the FIES offering, expanding the base from 4.7 thousand students to 10.2 thousand students in the second quarter 2011. We worked on the launch of the ProValer program in partnership with Itaú and Ideal Invest and began to gradually use a longer-term financing tool provided by Itaú for students with a bigger debt. In this quarter, we held a massive campaign involving several areas of Stasio, finance, operations, marketing, and so forth, called Agora Vai, Now It Goes, to recover outstanding amounts from defaulting students and encourage them to re-enroll with us, preferably making use of the FIES financing system. To sum up, although delinquency levels have slightly increased, as noticed in the reports of the main banks operating in Brazil, Stasio's team is not passively watching the developments, and we believe that all these measures will at least partially offset any potential worsening of the external scenario. I will provide more details about it when we talk about receivables later on. As for our G&A, we see 2 percentage points efficiency gain over second quarter last year, mainly due to a 1 percentage point margin expansion in personal costs and further 0.8 percentage points in third-party services, both resulting from revenues expansion combined with our strict budgeting policies and internal controls such as the metrics budgeting. Slide number 11, we show our SG&A in the semester, which is very similar, by the way, to what we just saw from the second quarter, meaning that we had a 1 percentage point efficiency gain for the first half of the year, mainly due to third-party services and personnel. Again, there is a positive effect caused by scale gains here, once there is no need to increase our corporate structure due to the students' base and revenue increase. In our model, more revenues imply higher margins. Moving on to slide number 12, let's talk about the hot topic of the moment, PDA, and also receivables. If you look at the table, the number of days of receivable, you can see that in the last row of the table, which includes tuitions and agreements for renegotiations, came to 60 days in the second quarter. Excluding the acquired companies, the number dropped to 59 days against 55 at the close of the first quarter and 51 at the end of the second quarter last year. The FIES accounts receivable, I mean, we take out the FIES accounts receivable of this calculation, but it actually hurts our receivables, so let's talk a little bit about it. It grew 4.2 million in the quarter. You know, it consists of educational credits for students who took up loans from Caixa Econômica and are used by Stasio for the payment of federal taxes. In other words, it represents tax credits without any risk of delinquency. In addition to the credits in accounts receivable, the balance sheet includes additional 18.2 million reais that were already converted in certificates and are waiting to be used or repurchased. Increase in student tuitions receivable in relation to first quarter 11 reflects a higher delinquency, as we mentioned before. It is common knowledge that once enrolled in a higher education institution, the students have the right to finish the semester even without paying the tuition fees. As a result, it is normal that delinquency rates rise slightly during the semester until students need to enroll in a new semester and renegotiate their debts within the criteria adopted by the company, which occurs at most every 180 days, which is, by the way, our policy of provisioning loans overdue more than 180 days. In a scenario of increasing delinquency all over the country, it is natural that accounts receivable also marginally increase until we reach the new period of debt renegotiation. Credit card receivables climbed by 4.8 million reais over second quarter or 2010, showing an improvement in credit quality, given that the system eliminates delinquency risks for the company. As for our PDA balance, it is very important to highlight once more that Estácio's PDA policy is not based on estimates or subjective judgments, but actually in real delinquency. In a clear and simple way, every real overdue more than 180 days is provisioned, and we will be able to see it in the following tables. In this scenario, if all the actions to reduce PDA that I mentioned before were not enough to hold delinquency growth due to external environment, our PDA build-up methodology will automatically capture this difference in a way that there is no risk of future write-offs. Moving now to slide number 13, where we present our accounts receivables and agreements aging. The first thing to notice is that the total accounts receivables overdue for more than 180 days, you can see that in the upper table, that number 55.8 million is exactly the same amount shown in the provision balance in the previous slide, reinforcing our statement that we have 100% of the former students' receivables already provisioned. Since students with more than 100 days of payment delays have not renewed with us and therefore are not students anymore. Let's now focus on the bottom table in the slide to talk about agreements arising from renegotiations. When talking about agreements, meaning tuitions overdue that somehow get renegotiated, there is always a commercial tentation to maximize renewals enrollment rates by adopting lighter credit policies. Here at Estácio, however, we keep seeking a balance between the commercial interest in increasing our student base and showing a higher revenue and EBITDA with the financial health of our receivables portfolio. This result of this balance, as well as of the adoption of tougher negotiation policies, can be observed in the table below, which indicates that agreements represent only 15.15% of total receivables. Moreover, analyzing the aging of the agreements, it is crucial to monitor the percentage of securities already overdue for more than 60 days. In Estácio, only 21% of the agreements are in that position, meaning we are very, very comfortable with our current provision policies. Slide number 14, talking about PDA, is a big effort here, and again, it gets kind of technical here, but we thought it would be important for you to demonstrate how to reconcile the PDA of the income statement with the variation of the balances in the balance sheet, using for it what happened in the first half, not in the second quarter alone, but in the first half of 2010 as an example. First, we will explain how we calculate the PDA provision that will impact the income statements. We start by adding the amount of debt that completed 180 days due over the semester, in this case, 47.3 million reais in the first column. Then we subtract the amount we get through our collection system, which results in a net additional provision of 25 million reais for the period. You can see in the third column. This is the number that should flow into our income statement. To obtain the amount presented in our income statement, however, we should also consider the FIES risk credit and the existence of deposits made more than 180 days ago whose origin has not been determined yet. Since these deposits are necessarily provisioned because of our policy to provision every one real with more than 180 days overdue, it is fair to take it out of the income statement because at some point when they are identified, they will reduce the PDA in our balance sheet as well. The remaining amount of 22.8 million reais is what effectively went through the results of the last couple of quarters. You can check it coming back to the first quarter. Then in the bottom table, we show how to reconcile this figure with the change in the balance sheet related to our PDA balance. From the starting balance of provision for doubtful accounts as of 31 of December last year, which is 45.4 million reais, we first add the net increase in provision we just calculated, and then add the balance of provision for doubtful accounts of the acquired companies in the effect of the acquired entities column. Then, in the column write-off, we remove the provisions with more than 360 days of age. At the same time, we do the same thing in gross accounts receivable, exactly in the same amount, which keeps the net accounts receivable at the same previous level. It is important to notice that such write-off is made each quarter for the simple reason of keeping a 12-month historical data in order to allow the comparison in the quarter or among the quarters. This is possible at Estácio only because we can guarantee that every debt with more than 180 days is provisioned in a way that this write-off does not bring any net account receivable variation. Moreover, we reinforce that these receivables will continue to be collected by means of the tools used by the company, and if and when recovered, will become a PDA reduction. Slide number 15, let's talk a little bit about the non-recurring items that show up in our release. It's also a very hot topic. In the second quarter 2011, these amounted to 3.5 million reais, and they are basically due to three factors. The first one, we keep centralizing some activities that generate headcount reduction on a permanent basis, meaning they won't come back. And that results in expenses with terminations amounting to 1.2 million reais. They show both in COGS and also in G&A. The other two drivers have to do with M&A activities. 1.4 million reais in expenses with acquisitions related to consultant fees and expenses with accounting and legal due diligence, for example, as well as with system integration efforts, all related to the four acquisitions in 2011. And also, 0.9 million reais in expenses with restructuring of the institutions acquired, basically with layoffs, of which 0.5 million were costs and 0.4 million were expenses. Except for those related to the acquisition of new units, non-recurring expenses should decrease in the future as the Estácio's project gets matured. Indeed, non-recurring expenses in second quarter 11 came to 1.1 million reais, which is 40% below the 2 million reais in the same quarter last year, again, excluding expenses with acquisitions. Moving to slide 16, I'd like to highlight that from now on, we will present a table with the acquired company's results. We will keep the disclosure up to 12 months after the acquisition to make it easier to follow up this company's results. After this time, the results will show together with the others as they will also become same shops. In second quarter 11, the acquired companies Atual and Fatern presented a positive recurring EBITDA margin of 19.5% and 15.6% respectively. Atual, already in an advanced phase of integration, will implement the new academic model as of the second half this year. The unit is also well integrated into the management model, such that the company believes its results will be considerably above the original business plan approved at the shareholders' meeting. Fatern, in turn, though slightly behind in the integration schedule, with the startup of the educational model scheduled for first half next year, registers strong enrollment figures and reasonable operating margins for a pre-integration period. On the other hand, FAO, which is also in Natal, and the Academia do Concurso, posted a negative EBITDA margin in this first quarter in Estácio's consolidated results. Unlike Fatern, FAO works with an enrollment system by which margins improve during the course of the year, which should occur in the second half this year. The unit is already being integrated with the implementation of Núcleo Natal, a process to bring together and create synergies from the two acquisitions and also from Estácio's earlier operation in Natal. This unit should undergo several operational improvements until the implementation of the new educational model in first half next year. Academia do Concurso posted negative recurring EBITDA of R$500,000 in second quarter. Although this result is lower than in our business plan, the new unit has already been adopting a series of measures to bring its results in line with the plan, such as the total integration of its support structure to Estácio in order to reduce rental costs whenever possible, as well as costs of services, while freeing up space for more classrooms and a broader course offering. The launch of the management module through the zero-based and also the metrics budgeting tools, and the speeding up of integration with the shared service center, including SAP, payroll, and other systems. Apart from the improvements to the processes in our own campus business, Estácio also started developing the distance learning platform and its franchising network for the nationwide expansion of Academia in the future. Moving to slide 17, we show in a graphic way the 1.9 percentage point margin gain obtained this quarter in comparison to the second quarter 2010, mainly due to the better management of personal costs and expenses and G&A in general, that more than offset the labor taxes step up, the increase in textbook materials and marketing expenses and PDA. Our net income totaled R$11.4 million in second quarter against R$9.9 million in the same time last year. This 15.2% increase in recurring net income can be explained, of course, by the increase in EBITDA, and the difference between this EBITDA growth and the net income growth is shown in the next slide, slide number 18. Where we can see a bridge that shows that links the net income obtained in 2010 and the one obtained in 2011. Here we can see that a relevant part of EBITDA again was offset by three major factors. The 4.4 million decrease in the financial results, this is R$1.8 million in financial investments, R$1.2 million in interest and financial charges, and R$1 million in financial discounts. Another factor, R$1.6 million increase in depreciation and amortization, and another one, R$2.2 million increase in income tax and social contribution due to the reduction in the deferred income tax and social contribution credit related to the reduction in provisions and temporary differences that created these credits. Going to slide, this means a lot of accounting brought our income tax a little bit higher. Going now to slide number 19 to talk about our cash flow, you can see in the upper small table that our recurring EBITDA was not sufficient to offset the worsening in the working capital, which results pretty much from the increasing receivables, plus the investments made in recurring capex or maintenance capex, which led us to a negative operational cash flow of R$10 million in the quarter. With the loss in recurring operational cash flow, discretionary capex investments, basically new academic model, replacement of computer network, and the expansions we made, plus the payment of dividends for fiscal year 2010, were compensated by the inflow of funds from IFC in the amount of R$48.5 million. Our net cash, deducting IFC loans and Finami loans, and also the amount referring to commitments to pay due to acquisitions and taxes paid installments, ended up the quarter with a negative position of R$3.6 million. In an effort to raise awareness in the organization about the need to better manage its cash, the company plans to maintain a relatively low level of cash. At the same time, the company has taken a series of actions to improve the cash position through its operational efforts, notably an action plan and a dedicated team to identify opportunities for improvement, ranging from the management, better management of receivables and accounts payable, to the sale of properties not being used by the company. Two, a project and an action plan as well, covering the finance, operations, education, and marketing areas, aiming to reduce the delinquency rates among current students. Three, a project for recovering escrow legal deposits. And four, the beginning of discussions with Stan Stewart for the gradual adoption of the EVA methodology by Estácio, with the final objective of aligning executive performance appraisal and compensation to this metric. I now pass the call back over to Alkali, who will finish our presentation.
Okay, Melzi, thanks a lot. And I'd like to make it clear that and apologize for a little bit lengthy discussion here, but I think it's worthwhile. We really wanted to give you this thorough amount of detail for those who cover us from for quite some time. You know, we always led the sector in terms of financial transparency and scrutiny. We really wanted, and we hope we are able now to build another level of standard in scrutiny and transparency of the key financial and operating metrics of the sector. And again, we remain absolutely available to investors and analysts to build that together even further. So having said that, I would like to quickly review, you know, some of our milestones in the operational front on slide number 20. And this semester we launched two new greenfield units. In the beginning of the year, we inaugurated a Chakra Flor in São Paulo, focused in niche courses of culinary arts and hospitality. This new campus is equipped with the most modern equipment, helping us to reinforce our presence and image in the city of São Paulo, which is very strategic to us. Another greenfield, Sulacap unit here in Rio de Janeiro, was created from the merger of two old campuses, which had faced a number of infrastructural problems and a history of financial constraints. We decided to put together these two operations in a brand new campus with modern and economically efficient facilities. With the immediate drop of fixed costs, the new campus already posted 640 basis points of EBITDA margin gain just in the first half of 2011. Besides that, we began implementing the Estácio's Internship and Employment Program, the so-called E3 space, a space dedicated for student career guidance, integrating the academic universe with the big employers and the labor market for the students. Human resources and psychology students will provide orientation services to young college students in search for their first professional experience. Another important accomplishment was the beginning of our third trainee program admission. Attracting and retaining young talents is a priority to our management model based on culture and meritocracy. More than 12,000 candidates applied on a nationwide basis for this program, out of which we selected 15 talented youngsters from all over Brazil who already started to work in the company. On slide number 22, I present some financial important milestones for the period. On July 15th, we announced our second share buyback program. We launched our Level 1 ADR program, and we also have received funds from a loan facility from IFC, from the World Bank, totaling 48 million reais, dedicated to finance expansion of our units and further investments in growth and acquisitions. Before passing to the Q&A session, I already anticipate that question which is always made to us, and I have good news to bring to you all. What are the perspectives in the ongoing intake process for new enrollments for the second half of the year? Even though we still have the month of August and a little bit of the month of September ahead, you know, we are right in the middle of the enrollment season, the signs so far are very, very positive. Comparing this same day with the same day of last year, we are 15% above the number of enrollments on our on-campus programs. This is 15, 1-5. And on our distance learning programs, we are 30% higher, 30% higher in distance learning and 15% higher in on-campus. Besides that, our graduate programs, you know, we're very positive with that. We have a new set of product portfolio and a new strategy to work on this front. And we also have the Academia do Concurso, the free courses platform with bright, important potential for the future. So, as we said in the beginning, we live and we go through a very good momentum here at Stacio. So with that, I would like to move to the Q&A session. Thanks again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star, then 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star, then 2. And the first question comes from JT Santos from BTG Pactual.
Hey, good morning, everybody. The first question regards to the cash generation related to the future growth opportunities lies ahead of you guys in terms of acquisitions and so on and so forth. I understand that now we have a more efficient cash position for the company after the dividend payments, and as you said, it's a good metric for management performance. However, the CapEx has been a little bit higher than as we had this discussion in the Portuguese conference call. I was just wondering if you could give us an idea of what do you expect in 2 points. Number one, in terms of the working capital, how would that evolve in the second semester as a result of all of those initiatives that you guys are implementing? And number two, on the CapEx line, on top of the maintenance CapEx that should be roughly around 3% of revenues, as I said in the Portuguese conference call, how much of that is expected for the second half of this year and for the 2012 year as a whole for CapEx? That would be the first question. Thank you.
Hi, JC, this is Melzi. Thanks for your question. It's not that we are happy with our cash generation or our cash position. We are comfortable, we are confident. We think that having a low cash position right now forces us to be more efficient and to pay more efficient and to pay more attention on this metric here. So I mentioned during my speaking here, I mentioned some of the actions we have in place right now. I think the most important one is starting now, which is the adoption of the EVA metric. We think this is, we believe that this is going to change our mindset towards cash generation. But we've been paying a lot of attention to the CapEx already. So CapEx, in terms of working capital first, we believe that it is normal to have a kind of a higher amount of working capital needs in the second quarter, just because we cannot get students back to renegotiate their debts. That should start lowering down in a natural way now in the third quarter, but we are doing more than that. We have a lot of initiatives to get our own people to convince the students to first to avoid their debts, and then if in any case they get this kind of debt, they can get to renegotiate with us as soon as possible. And we are doing that by bringing tools like a new business intelligence system, which is just about to be launched here, that will show, unit by unit, course by course, name by name, who is getting more and more debt here. And also by building incentives in our campuses so that course coordinators and also the administrative managers will have their bonuses targeted to the level of delinquency that they have in their classes and so forth. So a lot of managerial tools. We believe that all those together will kind of put a limit to this working to this days of receivable in the same level as it is today. Our hope, of course, is to bring it down because, among all other reasons, Alcalá and I, we personally have goals for days of receivable. We need to lower this down, otherwise we will have trouble to get our own personal bonuses. So we have all kinds of incentives to bring this down, and we believe we will see some results already in the second semester. Although, let's be clear about that. We are talking about changing a culture. That's not going to happen in 15 days or so. It may take some cycles, but it has to show some signs of lowering over the next cycles. As for our CapEx, we always say that a 3%, if you consider 3% of net revenues as our maintenance or recurring CapEx, you are in good shape. It can vary a little bit now and then, but usually it's going to be 2.5, 3% of our of our net revenues. We do have the capex for the teaching model or the academic model as we develop it, which we do not consider to be maintenance capex, of course. It's going to take 1.5 or 2 years until we actually finish that. It is in table 25. You can see the value. It is for the first semester 7.7 million reais, okay, in 2011. So that should continue for maybe 1.5 years or 2 years, 1 year and a half or 2 years. We will also spend a reasonable amount of cash with our new IT architecture. We spent 6.4 million reais in this first half of the year. We should see that for another year and a half again. And also, we had that decision of changing our entire computers, our entire base of computers. We needed to do that because of the new academic model. It brings a lot of new software. Old computers were not able to run this new software, so we decided to exchange them at once. Obviously, that happened once. It won't happen again for a few years. Okay. Apart all that, we also have the expansion decisions, right? We do not have an idea, a perfect idea of how much we're going to invest in terms of expansion, because it has to do with opportunities. As the ministry authorizes us, for example, a new greenfield, we need to be ready with cash to go ahead. But this is the kind of investment that we like very much, because they bring a very reasonable rate of return. So whenever possible, you should see some kind of investment in expansion. So again, 3% of recurring capex over the next 2 years. You see some additional capex for the academic model and for the IT architecture. You will not see more investments for computers. They will be back within the 3% of net revenues. And expansion, again, it will be on a case-by-case situation, okay?
Excellent, Melzi. Thank you very much for the detailed information. Just a second question. Alcalai commented on the year-over-year 15% better performance in the admission cycle, the mid-year admission cycle, and on-site operations, and 30% on distance learning. I was just wondering if you could comment a little bit on the renewal of the actual base, of the current base of students. How is it evolving and compared to last year? And if you had like a number to give to us, like a specific number, like X percent of my current base of students already renewed for the next semester. Thank you.
We are absolutely in line with last year's cycle, JC, in terms of renewals. Again, the renewal is still goes into a little bit of the beginning of the classes, which already began, unfortunately, and that is normal for the overall industry. We are in line with good prospects of, you know, remaining in line or suppressing a little bit the figures of a last year. I wouldn't be able to be specific on what is the number, but again, all the signals indicate to us that we will have a good, very good, robust student base building, both with renewals, which are in line, and with a reinforced, even higher, I would say, performance of new intakes.
That's great, Alcalai. Thank you very much.
Okay, and once again, you may ask a question by pressing star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. And we do have a question from Madhul Gandhi from HNC Capital.
Yes, hi, good morning. I have two questions. My first question is regarding the average ticket for distance learning. We see that that dropped year over year by 1.9%, and I was wondering if you could give more color on why it could not, why did not increase, perhaps with inflation or so. That was my first question. And hi.
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, and my second question was along the lines of FIES. I wanted to understand what percentage of your student base is actually eligible for FIES, and what percentage actually take advantage of the program. So I just want to have those two questions.
Okay. On the average tuition for the distance learning, yes, we saw a slight decrease on a nominal terms there. That is two reasons. One, you know, is the evolution of the product mix. We're still launching, and we launched this last quarter, this last semester, a brand new set of new courses. And new courses, they bring each of them with different price points. And that was a little bit responsible for the overall net tuition going lower. And yes, we were not available as we were in the on-campus programs to exercise, an increase in other products. So that is a little bit because of the competition front in that scenario and so forth. We are confident that, you know, as go ahead, mature our base, and the success that we are getting cycle after cycle in establishing, you know, a strong brand equity of Estácio on the distance learning front, we will be able, as we're doing with the on-site programs, we will be able to adjust our prices according to inflation, or could be even a little bit higher than that. Yes, we are very alert, and we pay very attention to that, and in order to correct that. In terms of FIES students, right now we have around, as you saw, 10 something thousand students under the programs, under the FIES. We have around 60-65% of our students based eligible to FIES. We're growing that day by day, given the better and good grades that we get in our regulatory visits from the regulator. So that is increasing, which is very important. But again, we have already almost two-thirds of our students base eligible for the FIES. We have to work a lot in the commercial side, in the bureaucratic procedures side. We are working very closely with the regulator to make FIES even more straightforward and easy for the students to apply. And we have to do a lot on our own. Our own people, our own units be more efficient in making and bringing up the amount of FIES students for obvious reasons.
I see, great. So you have two-thirds of your base that's eligible for FIES. So how many students actually participate in the program?
How many? Sorry, 10,000 and something. It is in our report.
10,000. Okay, got it. Okay, great.
Which is very low, which is only 5% of our total actual students base, and that's why I say, you know, we have to perform much better there. We have good potential to do much more there.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, press star, then one if you'd like to ask a question. And we have a question from Koju Honaki from Privet Capital.
Good morning, guys. Hey, thank you. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we're here. Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for the level of transparency. It's been very, very helpful for the second quarter results. Can I ask a favor? Can you please release the English version of the quarterly result approximately the same time you release the Portuguese version? That would be very much appreciated.
Absolutely, Koju, and we apologize for that. We had some hiccups with our translations procedures this time around. Again, sorry for that. We will make it up for you guys next quarter.
That's fine. I think we have to blame Flavia for that. So from an inflation standpoint, just to echo the previous question, what is your strategy for average ticket price in the event that inflation remained above the 6% level for an extended period of time?
Well, we adjusted prices by an average of 4.5% in the beginning of the year, and it was not in our budget and plans, but given the positive market reaction in terms of our good enrollment performance and so forth, and obviously because of the growing inflationary concerns, we decided to adjust again prices by the middle of the year by another 2.5%. So that makes very good for the results, I think. You know, we're going to see that in the third quarter results. So we were able to give, you know, especially on the on-campus programs, you know, 6% or more than 6% increase on prices. So we've been dealing quite well with inflation pass-through, and that is being done with no detriment whatsoever in our ability to attract new students, which is, you know, very, very good. So we are confident about that. In terms of the labor cost, we are running a little bit below inflation. Our negotiations with the most important union here, in which is the Rio de Janeiro Union, we had INPC inflation pass-through in our salaries of our faculty, which is a little bit below that. So so far, everything so absolutely good in the inflation front.
Coach, this is Melzi. I'll take the blame for the English version there, because it was such a technical note this time that I wanted to make sure that we got everything in place, right? It will not happen again. As for the inflation and the prices, you can we can keep our strategy. We want to keep our strategy of passing inflation through. If there is a moment in the future when we feel confident that our product has actually been perceived as something different and more valuable, we may try to go a little bit beyond that. But for the coming cycles and intake processes, we should expect inflation, okay?
Yeah, it has always been that, and I think very slowly, and depending on the specific marketplace, it is already starting to work. We've been working towards making a great product out there and having a potential candidate and student which is less and less price sensitive because of, you know, the better quality of the product, the better quality of the service,
branding,
absolutely. And that's why, and I think throughout time, that's the rationale. We want to have our students less and less price sensitive, being able then to maybe increase our prices above inflation.
I think that makes sense. Thank you. Given the level the stock has been trading over the past several weeks, especially down 16% since you guys announced the buyback program, the first question, how much of that buyback have you already completed since July 5th? And second question, has there been any sort of discussion related to upsizing that program, given the depressed levels of the shares?
Yeah, well, that is a good theme, Kojo. We've been acquiring very little, unfortunately, both because of, you know, it is a tough decision, you know, to we have to manage our cash pretty well now. We want to have cash in hand and financial clout to do acquisitions and investments. And also, we didn't work, and I think it was the right decision to do. We didn't want to fight the market over the last 2 weeks because it was a big, big sort of a sell-off, and there would be no sort of a share buyback program that would deal with the market turmoil over the last two weeks. Let's hope things get calmer, and let's hope, you know, the market reacts better, and, you know, looking at our results and prospects, and we'll continue to do buybacks. Bought back so far 40,000 shares, right, which is very little, and we will continue to do some more to the extent that the share continues to be absolutely not reflecting the intrinsic value of the company, which we firmly believe it is the situation now. So we will be very alert. We will be dedicating ourselves to try to, through our back buy program, to correct and take advantage of that environment.
Not to mention that we were in quiet period because of this release, and
yeah,
we didn't want to give any kind of signs about what was just about to come.
Yeah, we were precluded from buying over the last 2 weeks because of the blackout period, right?
Got it. And final questions in terms of your recent acquisitions. I'm just curious, what is your payback period on Atuel and Faturn? It's like I'm getting like 5 years or so, based on the numbers.
Please.
We had an internal rate of return of north of
20%.
23, 24. So it's between four and five
years. Yeah, but in these two cases, it's coming, you know, more quickly than what we expected. Let's hope it keeps the pace.
Sounds good. And what explains in the cost structure of actual and Fatern versus FAL and academia? Can you just give a brief overview of what is in the cost structure of those two companies, actual and Fatern, that explains the much higher EBITDA margins versus academia? And when do you expect academia to turn positive margins? I think FAL in the results, I think it should turn positive by the first quarter by the first half of next year.
Okay. Well, the difference there, Kojo, is management. You know, great quality management there. That of the inherent company that we got, and that translates into poor margins and tougher challenge to correct that, right? And in case of FAL specifically, is much lower average tickets, much higher faculty cost, and that again, that is in order to turn that away, turn that around in a sustainable, efficient way. You can't do it overnight. So that is why we are lagging a little bit behind of our business plans in the FAL case. In academia, which is a totally different business, is an unregulated business. It is, you know, some hiccups on the integration processes. You know, right now we're speeding up the integration of the all of the back office support activities into our CSC, and also on the technology platform and our systems and processes, SAP and payroll. And also, academia is all about commercial. It is all about being out there selling the courses and selling programs. It is a totally different sales cycle than the one in higher education. It is an event-driven sales cycle, you know, the courses, the opportunities for civil servants, candidates, and so forth. We are reinforcing the team there. We are giving full support for the team there, and we are paying good and increased attention. We formed a committee here of senior management from Estácio that meets every week to monitor and follow up on all actions, both on the increase of revenues as well as on the streamlining and downsizing of costs to put it on track as soon as possible. We cannot be sort of a specific here on when we're going to be able to show results there, but we're highly confident that with all these initiatives, you know, it will quickly get back on track on our business plan throughout, you know, the rest of this year.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Kojo.
Thank you. Since there seem to be no further questions, I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Eduardo Alcalde for his final remarks.
Okay, thank you everyone. We really appreciate you with staying with us for this a little bit longer call than expected. We apologize again for the late report. As Melzi said, we wanted to make the reports out there as soon as possible to give the opportunity for everybody to read and so forth. We were not as efficient with you guys, the English speakers. But I think it was worthwhile. We really wanted, and I think we were able to change the level and put in another standard of transparency and scrutiny for the financial information available. We want to build with you guys, investors and analysts, a new standard of looking and discussing financial and operating performance. We are at your disposal with our IR team to clarify further doubts and also to every day build a more intelligent, more detailed and precise reporting tools for you all. Thanks again, everybody, and have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.